Facebook page, or tweet me at Dahlia Kurtz. Now, by 4 p.m. today, we should know if there's a deal for education support workers. QP members have been without a deal since the end of summer break. But to give a different perspective of what's going on in our schools when it comes to support needs being addressed, there's a new report that measures school board performances to Ontario Public Service Standards. The report is by Horizon Education, and one of its education consultants joins me now. Welcome to The Goods, Monica Ferenzi.
Good morning. Thank you.
This is it's an interesting report that landed in my inbox. Thank you for that. It's an interesting report because, first of all, I don't know how many people start by looking at the 10th page or the 10th question, but that's the one I found most interesting. And then I want to go through it because it sort of gives us an idea of what's happening that these aren't things that you would necessarily talk about. So before we even get into the report, why does Horizon Education even make a report like this?
So every year we engage in an activity that establishes some data that we can use to help find out what areas of the education system could use improvements and enhancements. And it is our purpose to forward this information to education officials, education stakeholders, elected officials, so that we can continue to improve Ontario's education services in our public schools and to help students who need additional help receive that help, which is critical to their success.
So in putting together this report, what goes into this so that we can understand how it's compiled so then we can look at the results in a more meaningful way?
So the background to this report was our previous year's report since 2016, which looked at different ways that parents can address issues with school boards, either through complaint processes, through meetings, and what those processes were. And we found that there were processes that were lacking, but the recurrent theme through our reports every year was communication. And so when we looked at communication in terms of not legislation, but in terms of public service, because education is a public service, communication is critical. And when we have so many ways to communicate in the 21st century, to find that communication barriers and obstacles exist in our public schools, particularly when parents need and want information about their child's progress or programs and services, this was a really big sticking point. And so we decided to investigate further and see what was causing difficulty with communication or just the absence of knowledge in terms of what types of initiatives schools and school personnel could take in enhancing communication.
So looking at this report by Horizon Education, Monica Ferenzi has joined us on The Goods to talk about this. I actually found it most interesting to start with the 10th page of the report, or the 10th question at least, and it asked if overall do schools and school boards operate with a client services approach to educating students and responding to the parents or the public, staff knowledge, training, aptitudes, compliant, disability legislation, human rights. And I know that while it shows often and always as responses, because the list goes, by the way, is a never, rarely, sometimes, often, or always. Always gets 10% of this vote, often gets 17%, but to see never get 27.85, to see rarely get 20%, to see sometimes get close to 23%, that's a high percentage of school board operating without a client service approach.
Yes. So traditionally, the school boards are very historically built on a system that closely resembles a hierarchical system similar to the military. And you have different levels of authority. And so the basis of communication is through this hierarchy. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges, is shifting the focus of how you deliver services from a historical model to a common public service model, which is what the education system represents right now in society.
Well, it's a public school system, so we would think that it would be more of a public service.
Yes. There are, however, mindsets and historical practices that are still in play, and those are very difficult to change. And so information and training are what is needed in the system so that personnel can see themselves as a client services based. It's interesting to note that in my meetings with some schools and principals, some of them use the vocabulary of client services approach, and some of them are completely unfamiliar with it. So there is a systemic need for institutional push into the optic of client services when dealing with public schools at the front end level, when you walk into a school and how you are greeted and how your inquiries and messages are followed up by subsequent personnel.
So looking at this report, and I know I'm going to jump around a bit just because this is sticking out on me. Number three on this report, measuring school board performance, it asks if there's a wait time to access and implement requested accommodations for a student. And this is especially these days where we are mainstreaming more and more kids, and we're also finding that we have more kids maybe on the spectrum, more kids who have to deal with this disability or that disability, which is great. They should be mainstreamed, but it doesn't seem as though they're being allotted this effectively, because is there a wait time to access and implement requested accommodations for a student? 27% of the time, people have to wait. Always is a 30%, almost 31% of the time. This is almost 60% of the time that kids aren't getting their needs accommodated.
Yes, and this is a big concern, because when a parent comes forward with a request that their child be accommodated, the first thing that they are requested is to have some sort of professional report, which usually means that they are directed towards a psychoeducational assessment. And in the private sector, that can run at $3,500 now. So it's a question of access and being able to help a child without that financial burden of fulfilling a request to produce a professional report with such a recommendation. And also the time for those assessments often takes 3 to 6 months. So it's very important that children can access something temporarily in the school. And if it's based on need, whether the teacher notices this need or whether the parent notices this need, it's very important that they be able to access either assistive technology or some sort of accommodations right away through an individual education plan, which doesn't really require any sort of professional report to set up.
It's interesting to see where Canada is, even, you know, Ottawa looking at this right now, because I think of my nephew who's on the autism spectrum, and when he went to school overseas, when he was 4, he moved, and they had already set it up so that he was taken to a special school. He was picked up in a cab. Every child who was on the autism spectrum, and this is free, this is public, picked up at home. Each one on their own gets to take a cab to school. The cab drops them off at the end of the day. They get to school. They have a minimum of 1 to 2 teachers each, because they want to deal with these issues that these children have right away so that they can help make them as highly functional as they possibly can. And it works. And here we're fighting for that in Canada.
Yes, it does seem a bit of an anomaly, because we do have a good education system in Ontario. But when it comes to special needs, the delay in accessing any sort of supports or a special education class is often a year. And just yesterday I was speaking to a board official on behalf of a parent, and the parents has their child in a special education class in an outside community, so a fair distance away by van transportation. And it was unfeasible for the family. This family has 3 children, 2 special needs, and all 3 children are in 3 different schools. And so we're looking to improve access to the local school where the exact same program is offered, but there's no room in that classroom for that child. So how do we work around these barriers? And when we're told that, well, that's the max, and if they come out of the program in the other community school, they have to go back on a wait list and reapply for next year. So these are the examples of access and accommodations that really need to be changed, because if it's unfeasible for a family and it's an undue hardship on the family to access a program when one is available at their home school 5 minutes from the home, this is really a big problem.
This is The Goods. I'm Dahlia, and Monica Ferenzi is with us right now. She is from Horizon Education. We are looking at a report that Horizon conducted measuring school board performance to Ontario public service standards. We're going to get to this question next. Is there an authentic intent to service a student with a disability at the school level? You're going to find that out next on The Goods. I'm Dahlia. This is 580 CFRA.
Now back to The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Hello, hello, good morning. Just ahead, you are going to meet a world-renowned leader in mental health, anxiety, bipolar, and more. He has pioneered a therapy not typically used when it comes to severe mental illness. He is going to join us all the way from England. He's coming in studio right here at 87 George Street after the 8:30 news. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. By the way, we will get to a couple of questions still on 580 CFRA's Facebook page. Should spanking be banned in Canada? Scotland is the first UK country to ban spanking. In Canada, spanking is not illegal. In about 60 other countries around the world, it is. Is it time to ban spanking here? Also, interesting study survey shows 63% of respondents say that Ottawa is unaffordable and getting too expensive. What do you think? Do you find Ottawa unaffordable? You can join the conversation on Facebook. You could tweet me at Dahlia Kurtz. You could also just lie back, relax, and listen to what this woman has to say. She's an education consultant from Horizon Education, and they've put together a report that's measuring school board performance with our Ontario public service standards. So Monica Ferenzi is here, and what we're looking at now in the report on this day, as we're waiting to find out if a deal will be reached between education support workers and QP members, they have until 4 p.m. today. But the next thing to look at on this report is talking about the authentic intent to service students with a disability at the school level. This is making them feel welcomed, giving inclusive language that's used by staff, support that is offered in a timely way. And when asked if there's this authentic intent, 10%, 10 to 11% of the time, no. 13% of the time, rarely. Sometimes 32. This is not exactly what you want to see when you're talking about servicing children with our needs. So 10.71% of these kids never get that authentic intent. 13% will rarely get it. And then 32% is a sometimes. So it's a hit or miss with this sort of thing.
So that will depend on the climate and atmosphere that a principal establishes within their school. And also that principal's particular expertise, knowledge, and background with special education, with servicing students with special needs. So it really is a hit and miss from school to school or school board to school board. And what is difficult for parents is often to find that their child is not welcome at a school. Just this week, I had a parent walk in to a school and wanted to register their child on the autism spectrum. And clearly, the school made her feel very unwelcome and suggested that she go to another school board to receive those services. And so this is the type of thing that we really need to eradicate in our public education system so that every family feels welcome. Other school boards alienate parents and tell them, or create incidents in which their child is involved in an attempt to have them removed from the school. So these are very targeted types of activities that are very under the umbrella of intimidation and bullying to some levels, and very great cause for concern when parents are being made to feel that their children are not worthy enough to attend a public school, and makes them very distraught to know that they have to shop around for a school that will welcome their child.
I don't know which of these points I want to get to next. There are two here that are serious. We'll start with this and we'll end on the one that is possibly the most serious from the report. Number six, are assistive devices and or other supportive equipment readily available until a student receives their own? And never, rarely, and sometimes are the top responses here. Almost 22% of the time, an assistive device or supportive equipment isn't available. Rarely is 26.8% of the time, sometimes 18.2%. What does a child do?
So the child goes without, unfortunately. And unless the parent takes on this advocacy role for their child within the school and insists and makes further calls to the school board and does all sorts of hoops and runs and
it's
requests.
It's so funny, though, because then we
it's
get
an
to
obstacle
this.
Course.
So a parent has to take on the advocacy role. And then I get to this question. Is a complaint process or dispute resolution process available as a quality assurance measure? 25% of the time, never, rarely is 20%, sometimes 22.5%. So what's the point of making a complaint if almost all of the time it's not going to go through due process?
No, there is no due process, and that's a big void right now in the education system. So there are no comment cards at the school office to show how public service is being delivered. There is no call-in inquiry or we're recording this phone call for quality services type of mechanism in which parents can voice that they're not being serviced.
Tell you, you're allowed to record your phone call for quality assurance because as long as one party in Canada knows that it's being recorded, that is perfectly fine. So maybe you should start recording your calls for quality assurance.
Well, sometimes that is what I indicate to a parent that they must do, and then they are told that they cannot do that in a meeting. So that's another area that really
sometimes needs information. Your phone is just next to you and you accidentally press record on voice memo. Those things happen.
Exactly.
Those things happen. I could be calling my parents right now and I don't even know it. Oh, I know that I receive pocket dials. So Monica, when looking at this report by Horizon, it's a great report. It details a lot of things we need. It details, you know, we have support workers in the school for a reason. But this indicates that we need more support workers. This indicates that we need more compassionate and empathetic school boards and administration bodies. What is this report going to do? Do you think it will make a difference?
Well, it should make a difference because we're certainly sharing it province-wide with education stakeholders, ministry officials. It's already been forwarded to the Minister of Education and to the government. And we are going to take on some follow-up with this information as to how it's going to trickle down into some new ministry policy and directives. Because if the Ministry of Education doesn't have a quality service statement to common public service standards on their website, being the only ministry that doesn't, we really need to start there.
I like how she said, you should see, Monica looks like the sweetest little muffin too. And the way that she said that, just pew, 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 pew. Monica, if people want to learn more about Horizon Education, how can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, and at our website. Lots of good information. Or calling me at 613-612-6842 and be happy to help you out.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.